Amazing Unicorns!
Harmon Brothers!
Welcome back to a new season for 2024 of Raising Unicorns!
It's time for the marketing headlines!
You want the one that'll make you really angry, or like the thought-provoking one?
Ooh, let's get angry.
Okay, well, here it is. There is an announcement. The announcement happened about a week ago by Wendy's. Have you heard about this?
Yes. The price gouging?
That's not what they're calling it.
Oh, that's not their new campaign?
Introducing price gouging by Wendy's.
They're not calling it stealing from the middle to lower class?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Okay, so what it is they announced a week ago that they were going to start rolling out dynamic pricing, which, if you're not familiar with dynamic pricing, it's very similar to how ski resorts and Disneyland have been operating for a long time, where basically there are peak seasons and peak times. Like within Disneyland, it's peak season. So like when you go in like Christmas time or Thanksgiving or spring break, the pricing goes up from their standard ticket pricing. And actually now there is no standard ticket pricing. It fluctuates from day to day, right? So Wendy's introduced this idea of rolling out dynamic pricing. So at peak times, like during lunch and dinner,
It costs more. I didn't know that detail. I thought they were just always charging like $9 for a burger.
So the basic idea is with why dynamic pricing is supposed to be better is it discourages like people from going to certain places like Disneyland by having $200 day passes as opposed to like $130. And they're like, oh, that's too expensive. Maybe we'll plan at a different time. And so Right. It's supposed to be like a more even distribution so the park's not overly Right. Crowded at certain times.
Yeah.
But like, that's not the case. If you go to Disneyland during Christmas, it's still insane because that's when people are out of school. That's when there's vacation time that's already allotted.
Right.
Like, and there's already like, you know, kind of built-in systems around that where people go. Really what it is that's their busiest time and they're just trying to make
the most profit money
as much as possible. This isn't like a discussion on the ethics of it, but this was fascinating because they had an insane amount of outcry. Like just people, like if you go on Twitter, people are
furious
and like just destroying them. Like, well, I'm never going to Wendy's ever again.
Right.
I hope you die in a car fire. Just savage. But like, it's just like a marketing disaster because they had plans of doing it, but then They saw how insane people were about it. Like, and just were like, well, that would be disastrous.
Right.
And I think the thing that sucks is this kind of feels like if someone made the jump, like say McDonald's made the jump and did this.
Yeah.
It kind of feels like the jump that we made a few years ago where everything switched to a subscription model because It's so much more lucrative for companies. If you look at like Adobe's profit, Adobe, when they switched from Creative Suite to Creative Cloud.
And you used to be able to buy apps just for $3 and it was your app forever. But now almost every app has a
subscription of some sort, right? It's way more lucrative. Like Adobe's doing better than it's ever done.
Oh,
and that's
largely
due to its Creative Cloud subscription revenue because it's like $60 a month for anybody that does any kind of creative work needs like the Creative Suite, right?
Right.
It's like that shift has made it so everyone in the software world for editing and post-production, like everyone's subscription now. But I feel like once one trips, then the others will go. And I feel like people could sense that and they're like, no way.
No.
We will burn this place to the ground.
Right. I think it's just such a real example of how you have to be real with your customers. I think people are holding on to their dollars and they're like, if you're going to take advantage of me, then I won't shop at your store. I'm willing to. I'm already poor. I don't have that much money.
Well, I think the thing that's so different about fast food is you don't have to eat at Wendy's.
Right.
There's a lot more options.
Yeah.
I think editing, you know, software.
You don't have options.
It's hard because they've gobbled up everybody. It's a huge consortium now. But with like food, I think it's a lot tougher because it's like, there's other options. And there's like lots of people who are still entrepreneurs. It's like, you sick of Wendy's? Come over here.
Yeah.
I've got burgers that are just great, you know?
Yeah.
Disneyland can get away with it. Ski resorts can get away with it because it's like, there are very few areas in the world where you can set up a ski hill. And like, there's also like, there's like the allure of like a certain resort like Deer Valley or Park City.
Yeah.
And same thing with, or like Vail. And then same thing with Disneyland. There's only a handful of like Disneylands across the entire world that it's such a destination.
Sure.
It feels like, yeah, you know what? It's Disneyland. Like they can get away with it because they have the demand on their side right. that they don't have to worry about. With other things where there's actual competition, there's lots of other options. Pfft, yeah, right. Like, yeah. why would I do that? Like,
yeah.
I'm just going to, I'm like, even if I love Wendy's Frosties, I'll be yeah. like, that's a bummer. I guess I'm not eating Wendy's anymore.
Right.
But I think from a marketing standpoint, this is such a disaster. And like, there's like, if they had to raise, if they were like, we want to raise prices because we need more profitability and we're not reaching profitability.
Yeah.
I think from a positioning standpoint, this was a disaster. Like people get like the, like, especially beef. Beef is crazy expensive. If you go to like any grocery store, you're going to be like, beef is way more expensive. Like at a supplier side, like even like Wendy's is going to be affected by that. So be like, oh, like, I don't know, they raised their prices by 15%. Like, sucks. It's just kind of part of inflation. But they're like, dynamic price, and we're just going to, you know, we're going to take advantage of you in the worst way possible during your lunch break when you're escaping work for a minute. You know? Just right. like, I think from like a positioning standpoint and like a brand perception standpoint, this is pretty damning. And
yeah.
like, I don't know how long term it'll be because they played it off and they're just like, never mind. But like, already in my mind, that is like billions of dollars worth of damage in the long term of like, the fact that the CEO even like seeded that is right. now like you've lost so much trust with right. everyone there. It's like, well, if they were considering that, what else would they do? Were they just like trying to screw people over to like make more money? Okay, let's move on. We took way too much time on that. Sorry,
Keith. Yes. Okay. So base is a luggage, a luxury luggage.
What?
Luxury luggage brand.
Luxury luggage.
It's by, it's created by Shay Mitchell, who's from Pretty Little Liars. People love her bags. They have a big, big following on social media.
Yeah.
People also have gone on social media giving reviews and being like, it gets dirty really fast. It gets kind of beat up. And they're like, it's luxury. It's like $200 to $400. What am I paying for, basically? So in response to this, they set up, it looks like a car wash. Show you. It's a pop-up car wash, but for
your luggage.
Your luggage, and it's free. It's only in LA, but you can come and go through, and they've taken like pictures on their social media with it. So it's kind of like, it's less functional and more like a hotspot to be like,
I have luxury luggage too.
Yeah. And you can come. We care about you so much that we'll wash it. And they partnered with Scrub Daddy.
Oh, nice.
Which is pretty cool. And they're like, look how easy it is to clean with a Scrub Daddy. Really, even though most people probably won't use the pop-up, they've been using it on their, they've been making videos there to be like, how easy is it to clean? Right? That's like really what they're showing.
Which is hilarious because it feels like this is a tremendous amount of effort from like, we made a crappy product that gets dirty super easy. By the way, luggage, like if you've ever been inside of a luggage handling area.
Oh, yeah.
It's disgusting.
It's so gross.
Like there's these conveyor belts that have been used for literally nonstop for decades that like people are touching things. There's, you know, all sorts of luggage is covered in who knows what. I feel like every set of luggage gets like, you know, scuffs and stuff. But like, is it extra bad? And this is why they went extra mile. Because like,
this is what I think. It's if they're all like neutral light colors, it's like a very like aesthetic thing. And so I think the trade-off for that is obviously that it's like really easy to tell. Yeah. And so it's like, I think this is kind of a brand play to say like, you do have to clean those. Is it worth it? And,
to have bespoke luggage.
Right. Right. Are you bougie enough to have luggage that you clean? Like, like they're adding to the luxury of the brand. Anyways.
So you think it's a good play or a bad play? I can't tell.
I think to justify to people who feel like I'm upset because I spent a lot of money on this bag and they're saying, hey, look, it's actually easier to clean than you think it is. I think it's a good move because it's like, hey, we're showing you exactly how to clean it. We're explaining like retroactively what to expect from this. It also shows like we're listening to your complaints.
That's true. That's
which
true.
I think is valuable.
It's important.
But I think the next step is like, here's what we're doing to improve our bags in the future so they're even extra scuff resistant.
See, what they really should do is partner with Scrub Daddy or a huge volume of them and have it be like a branded Scrub Daddy that has like their logo in it. Make it co-branded or something like that.
That would be fun. Next.
You ready for this?
Yes.
Okay. This is like a thinker one, Shay. Because like this is something that's interesting because I'm actually talking at a conference in March about this. And this is one of the topics on the panel that we're talking about.
Fascinating.
Most people have thought about like there's two parts of building a company. There's like the brand building part. It's like raising awareness, like positioning. And then there's like the commerce side. It's like, how do you sell this thing? Mm. Right. And Harman Brothers has always been kind of a blend of like both where we're like trying to get sales and branding. Right. And it's really interesting because there's this like big kind of movement where everything is now converging into one with online shopping. And so many people are going off of places where traditional branding advertising was seen. And so much more is now going into digital like platforms first. And so much more integration is happening where they can track those like actions to back to purchases. Now, like people are saying, like asking the question, like, is brand building dead? Like, and is it is like the way to build a brand through commerce or e-commerce and just driving that and having that be the primary driver, the like it still encapsulates your brand, your values, your colors, your all the things that make up a brand, but that's part of like, you know, it's done through a conversion ad or a conversion piece that's getting people to purchase. And so I was thinking about that in my mind. I was like, I don't know, because that I think there is more to a brand than just like trying to get people to buy things.
Right.
But I think it takes a whole different shape. Now, in my mind, the brands that I follow, I don't follow them on like, you know, their TV ads or whatever, unless it's like a huge mega brand, like a Fortune 500 company, like Coke or something like that, or Nike. But like for everyone else who lives in like the small to even like medium and like pretty big businesses, you usually aren't spending like hundreds of millions of dollars on brand awareness stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think it, like a lot of it is, for me, a lot of it's more on the social side, like on the social, that's where a lot of the branding, personality, interaction and playfulness of the brand is kind of encapsulated rather than on some big TV spot they put up on the Super Bowl.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about ads that have actually made me buy something. And most of them have been people that I have been watching like for months that I'm like, I genuinely trust them. And it's not every influencer, right? Because like a lot of influencers, I'm like, I don't trust
shills.
You. You're fun. I like watching your content, but I think you're a shill. No offense. And I get it. Get the bag. Get the money. I'm not gonna click that button. But there are people where I'm like, oh, I trust you with my life. I think in a way that has replaced some of the branding, because instead of like Tony the Tiger, you're like, I love that guy. It's like this influencer that you feel like, you know, you have a parasocial relationship with, unhealthy, but lucrative.
Is that so funny how like you feel like you know people? And it's so funny because I think a lot of content people follow is because they relate to it. And it's so different from like advertising from like 20, 30 years ago, where it was like, it's Michael Jordan. It's, you know, it's these big celebrities like that are endorsing this thing. And it's like, Ellen has a whole special about how her life resembles nothing of a normal person's life. It's like, I don't know how you peasants live.
Right.
But I think a lot of times, at least the influencers I follow, either super funny or they're super funny and they're talking about very relatable things in like a hilarious nature.
Right.
Where it's like, man, this guy gets me.
Yeah.
This girl is just so funny and she gets it. Like,
yeah.
That's how like my wife, most of the stuff she follows is around like the pains of parenting and kids and like just like being burnt out, but like laughing while you're crying type stuff. But like, I think that's like why I think people follow those people. It's so different than it was 20 or 30 years ago.
And then it also makes it so easy. It's like, I'm watching parents. And so then if
you're like, they get me.
Yeah. And then the parent is like, oh, I found this diaper that fixes this problem that I you know that I have kids and this actually helps. And then that there's so much more trust there. Then it's like, Tony the Tiger, you're not real. You don't eat breakfast because you're a cartoon.
Yeah. So that's interesting. You took that as the more like influencer like content. I was more talking about like just like social channels in general, like where even the brand's social channel, like
still with brand characters.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
Not even brand characters, are just like, because a lot of it's just like organic, like content for organic content's sake. Like, I'm trying to think of brands that I actually follow, like Patagonia, right?
Sure.
I follow Patagonia, and they have like really cool content that's like beautiful places. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I dig this.
That's
cool.
Part of their branding.
And that's part of their branding. Like, I mean, I think of Chapbooks, right? Chapbooks, like continues to like have people's like, they love it because they have funny stuff on their channel that also kind of relates back to their core values of their brand of like capturing memories of a family. Not every product has that, like that ability to like tap into something more meaningful. But I do think like that's where a lot of the personality is expressed. I think a lot more of the content is more transactional of like, here's this product.
Yeah.
It does this thing.
Check out what
it's pretty
does.
Cool. Do you want to buy it? Amazing. And then the relationship starts after the purchase or near purchase, right?
Okay, but here's another thing. I bought Scrub Daddy because of Scrub Daddy's TikToks.
That's true.
For real. I didn't know about them and I hadn't used
one. You didn't know about Scrub Daddy?
I didn't, because my mom would never pay that much for a sponge.
It is a very expensive
sponge. It's an expensive sponge, but I love to throw away money. and pray and hope that it works. And I love it. And I love it now. But I also, I clicked the follow button and I watched their TikToks. I think it's funny. I have to show you one after this. But I agree with you, even though I took your topic in a different direction. I agree that, like, on your TikTok
channel.
It's
changing, I think, is the point.
That's
like, it's not big branding ads that we think
of.
TV. Like, yeah, it's not that anymore.
It's consistent posts of, like, this is how we want you to think of us.
Yeah. Even from when we started at Harmon Brothers, the landscape has changed so much, and there's so many different like places and channels to access customers. There's, you know, obviously there's print, radio, TV is kind of like the classic ones, but then there's Facebook, there's Instagram, there's YouTube, there's TikTok, there's affiliate marketing, there's social media, or there's you know, influencer content, there's email. Like, there's the list of places you can like engage with a customer is getting insane.
Yeah.
Like, in some ways, like for newer clients who are smaller businesses, it is wildly overwhelming for them to be like, how do I do all of this?
Where do I start?
Yeah. Thank you so much, Shay. Always a pleasure. High five.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I miss elbow.
Thank you for watching Raising Unicorns.
Subscribe now.